Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
So, Coleman, we often hear parents talking about how their kids fall away from sport. Some are, as they say, very sporty, and they're mad for road, and they're mad for competition, and they're mad for working hard. Others fall away. We'd prefer that they didn't. Do we know why so many of them just fall away?
I think the main reasons why we see children dropping away from sport is that they feel that they're not sporty. And when you dig into that, it's maybe more about them not being competitive. A lot of young people around 13, 14, 15, where we see the biggest drop off, they say that sport gets too serious, that it's not fun anymore, and that it's more of a chore than an enjoyment. And I've spoken to a lot of young people more recently, and especially post-COVID, and we're trying to get social opportunities for that group. And they would say that, well, sport isn't really a social opportunity, because when you're training, you're kind of told when you get there, like, tune in, lads, and there's no messing, and you can't be talking. And, you know, it's all about the match on Saturday, whatever the case would be. And others would say that the commitment to kind of training twice a week and a match at the weekend, if you're not willing to do that, if that's too much, well, then there's nothing else for you. And so the landscape seems to say that, like, you either engage in this kind of competitive regime or else you don't play sport at all. And I think it's driving children to gyms, and a lot of young people are going to gyms for their activity and exercise, and that's a very isolative activity, and in other ways we're driving them onto Xboxes and screens as well. So it's just something that I was interested in, is whether the culture of children's sport could do it more of a menu of options for young people that would allow them to maintain movement and exercise without. And it's not necessarily, I'm not against competitive sport. I believe that has a role.
Yeah.
But I don't think, there's no five-a-side culture for children. I play sport. I play five-a-side football and tag rugby. A text goes around on the day before. If you're ready, if you want to go and you can make it, you turn up. If not, you don't have to. If I had to play sport by going to training twice a week and every match every weekend, I wouldn't be able to do it either. And I just think maybe there's an opportunity for children to have that, if that was possible.
I guess every coach in a club is looking for the next great talent. And there he is, 14-year-old Johnny Gott. He's magnificent with a hurley. Or Susan is brilliant with a football. She's a new emerging talent. Or Richard, God, he's great on his 2 feet. He'd make a great athlete, great runner. The coach is looking for those kids. Are they in danger of forgetting about the youngster who's just there because they love it and they want to plod along and they don't care if they never win a medal in their lives?
Yeah, I mean, the indication is that 1% of child athletes will reach an elite level. But we have to see, are we investing time in the 1% at the cost of the 99? Do you know what I mean? From that point of view. And I coach football. It's lovely to coach a kid who's really engaged and tuned in and wants to win and is listening to your every word. And, you know, they're far more kind of ego driven. So, and this is another thing, children, I think coaches believe that every child wants to win, and that's, of course, children like winning more than losing. I'm not saying that, but it's not the sole motivating factor. Children join sport to meet their friends, to have fun, and to learn a skill. There are, of course, a percentage who are in there for the prizes, but in fact, sometimes I think the winning means more to the coach than it does to the children. And I would say that if you asked any 12-year-old to go out and play a football match and said, you're guaranteed to lose this match this afternoon, do you still want to go? 99% of them would still want to go.
Would you think so, yeah?
The activity. And so from that point of view, I think, you know, sometimes adult-led activities can sometimes take the fun out of things. And all the problems with children's sport around silent sidelines and abusive referees, that's all the grown-ups. That's not the children causing that. And I think there is... The article was based on a friend of mine, Shane Smith, who's a sports scientist, and he was saying about coaching teens that as soon as the child turns 12 to 13, we believe we have to do laps and drills and long team talks, and it almost it imposes a kind of an adult model. And children don't, there's no switch goes off between 12 and 13 where you say, I'm not in for fun anymore. Children still need to enjoy things well up into their late teens and 20s. And then maybe the elite stuff comes into it. But again, I wonder if that's driving more children away from the game than it is in attracting the kind of ego-driven children into it.
I remember discussing previously the idea that you'd have kids' games where no one kept score and everybody won because there was no score on the board. Have you thoughts on that?
I don't know if it's that extreme a view. Like, I when I do my five-a-side, I'm competitive in that hour. Like, I want to win for that hour. But the commitment is just for that hour. And I think if there wasn't, like, just because, you know, I don't think it's everyone wins and everyone wins a prize. And I don't think it has to go to that extreme. It's really about the commitment, you know, the commitment to turn up and have that hour. Like, if you did, my solution would be, you know, you rent an Astro pitch and 10 kids turn up, you give them 5 bibs each, they play the match and then they go home, and if they can make it next week, they can. You know, so that there's an ability for children to maintain, to have a buy-in that doesn't involve such a huge commitment and isn't about that. But I still think, like, the competitiveness of the hour, like, even very average players still enjoy the competition. Like, I'd be a very average golfer, but I still, when I'm out there, I want to do my best. Do you know what I mean? But I think it's not so much diluting it into nothing. And again, I'd be accused of being all woke and all this sort of stuff, and we're taking all these kind of challenges away from children. I don't believe that for a second. I just think that there should be a menu of options for children who maybe aren't able to commit to the high, and especially for exam students. You know, a lot of students are told, you know, it's your hurling or your leaving cert. You make a choice, and coaches turning them away because they can't commit to the full commitment of it. I'm not so sure that's in any way. And also the case of the late developer. Yeah. You know, if you retire a child from sport at 10 because you don't think they're good enough, I used the phrase in the column that children are like popcorn kernels. You know, they pop at different times.
Right.
You know, they're all under the same conditions. But you could have a kid at 13, 14 who's struggling. When 17, they hit a growth spurt, and now they're kind of they're a real leading light. And I just think we need to have the patience to stick with those children and a culture that welcomes them, even though they may not be performing at that level. But I do think the competition part is part of the enjoyment. It's not about removing competition. It's more about removing commitment.
How important is it, Coleman, just on a general psychological level, that children have something to go to meet friends and to have, let's call it what it is, organized play? How important is that?
Oh, it's hugely important. I mean, I think from the last 2 years, we see that, you know, these children, that 13 to 16 age group are really, really struggling to self-initiate and make, like, meet up after school and have these kind of, like, because they've gone from the play dates and sleepovers to now being expected to do it, and they've completely lost that skill of meeting up. This, we're all social beings. We need connection. We need to have fun. We need to have an engagement in it. But also the movement and exercise is crucially important at that age to release endorphins, to actually increase your well-being and your fitness. Like, there's so much for your mental health. There's buckets of research that says this really helps us to feel better. And I just think by excluding children from having that opportunity, we're missing a trick in terms of them developing anxiety and mood issues later on in life that perhaps could be diluted by having a sporting outlet in their life.
We went through two very tough years. The young people in particular went through very tough years. They couldn't get out, they couldn't meet, they couldn't socialise, they couldn't play a game of ball. And going forward, do we have to take particular care of that cohort and watch them for problems that might otherwise not have happened without that break in their social life?
Oh, 100%. And the 16-year-old of 2022 is not the same as the 16-year-old in 2019. You know, it has taken its toll. They are. And what we have to do is meet them where they're at rather than where we want them to be. You know, and I think we see that. I teach in third level, and I can tell you that the first and second years who did their first year from their box room are not at the same level as first and second years, just socially, emotionally. They've missed out on so many of those developmental steps, which aren't automatically visible at the time. They only emerge after the fact, and I think we're kind of seeing that. So these opportunities for children to make up for lost time socially, emotionally, they're really, really important, and I can't stress how important they are for those young people to try and, as I say, make up for what they have lost.
And coming back finally again to sport, we're coming into a new school year. Maybe Johnny doesn't want to go back to hurling after school. How does a parent maybe probe it a little bit and find out why?
Yeah, again, I'd always say to parents, judge how your child is when they're coming off the field, not when they're going. You know, from the point of view of lots of children will have anticipation anxiety. I don't really want to go. You know, the hardest part of going to the gym is getting from the couch to the car. Yeah. You know, once you're there, it's actually okay. And so, you know, judge them coming out. If they're coming out of it and they've enjoyed it, then continue to probe and push. But if they're coming out of it in tears and saying, I really hated that, that wasn't for me, then I wouldn't be pushing it. And try and find their tribe elsewhere. Do you know what I mean? And one of the things I'd say is, you know, the summer camp culture, the cool camps and all these things that we've seen, I've known children who love that. They actually enjoy that because there's no real commitment. Whereas the training in the rainy nights in November and doing laps isn't maybe for them. And I think a 12-month summer camp type option might be one way to go to help them.
Coleman, thank you for being with me today.
Pleasure.
Cork's 96 FM.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.